Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narancaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Praishu Abhadreshu.
Nasta Praishu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, text number 22.
Tam
upagatam,
upagatam
alakshya,
alakshya
sarve,
sarve
sura,
sura
ganadayah,
ganadayah
pranemuhu,
pranemuhu
sahasothaya,
sahasothaya
brahmendra,
brahmendra
triyaksha,
triyaksha
nayakah,
nayakah
tamupagatam alakshya,
tamupagatam alakshya,
tamupagatam alakshya,
tamupagatam alakshya
sarve suraganadayah,
sarve suraganadayah,
sarve suraganadayah,
sarve suraganadayah
pranemu sahasuttaya,
pranemu sahasuttaya,
pranemu
sahasuttaya,
brahmendra trayakshanayakah,
brahmendra
trayakshanayakah, tamupagatam alakshya. Tam,
tam,
him. Upagatam,
upagatam,
arrived.
Arrived.
Alakshya,
alakshya,
after seeing.
After seeing.
Sarve,
sarve,
all.
Suragana
adayaha,
suragana
the demigods and others. Pranemohu,
pranemohu,
obeisances.
Obeisances.
Sahasa,
sahasa,
immediately.
Immediately.
Uthaya,
uthaya,
after standing up.
After standing up.
Brahma,
Brahma,
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma.
Indra,
Indra,
Lord Indra.
Lord Indra.
Trayaksha,
Trayaksha,
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Who has three eyes.
Who has three eyes.
Nayakaha,
Nayakaha,
led by. Translation. As soon as Lord Vishnu was visible, all the demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the Gandharvas, and all present there, immediately offered their respectful obeisances by falling down straight before him. Responsively, please repeat. As soon as Lord Vishnu was visible,
as soon as Lord Vishnu was visible,
all the demigods,
all the demigods,
Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva,
Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva,
the Gandharvas and all present there, immediately offered their respectful obeisances,
immediately offered respectful obeisances
by falling down straight before him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, even of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What to speak of the demigods, Gandharvas, and the ordinary living entities. It is stated in a prayer, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha. All of them, including the yogis, worship Lord Vishnu. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. Yogis concentrate their minds on the form of Lord Vishnu. And thus he is worshipable by all demigods, all Gandharvas, and even by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Surayaha. Vishnu is therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though Lord Shiva was previously referred to in prayers by Lord Brahma as the Supreme. When Lord Vishnu appeared, Shiva also fell prostrated before him to offer his respectful obeisances. Tamupagatam alaksya sarve suraganadayaha pranimusa sotaya brahmendratayakshanayakaha. As soon as Lord Vishnu was visible, all the demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the Gandharvas, and all present there, immediately offered their respectful obeisances by falling down straight before him. There are basically two schools of thought in India, the impersonal school, whose acharya is Shankar Acharya, and the Vaishnavas. These are very traditional and old schools, and it's very obvious. But there are, especially in this age of Kali, there are always concoctions. In fact, this is an age of confusion when it is very hard to ascertain who is the absolute truth or where I can get knowledge, etc. For example, there is a group formed by one Bengali gentleman, I believe. Anyway, they have a building here in London, and their proposal is that Lord Shiva is not only the Supreme, but Lord Shiva spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada did not have many complimentary things to say about them, especially some of their preaching tactics. The only contention is whether or not there is no personal deity or Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. Ultimately, we are Vaishnavas. We know that from various scholars' presentations, but even from our own books, the stress that Srila Prabhupada has given, and we're not going to the Vedas, we're not going to esoteric scriptures, we're just dealing with Ishopanishad or the Bhagavad Gita, and it's quite clear that Krishna or Vishnu is the supreme person. He's Purnam, Om Purnam, so he must have both personal and impersonal energy. And in our experience, impersonal energy is predominated by person. So I don't know how much clearer you can make it. Another argument is the argument of design. I've come here to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and just by seeing various things, I know there is a president and a vice president, and nowadays a committee. Everything's in committee nowadays, but there's some system of management. However lacking it may be, but there's some system there. So just by design, I can understand that things are not going on automatic pilot, or they're not going. In fact, when we flew from Buenos Aires, British Airways was they took great pains to assure us that they had three pilots. It was a long flight, and if we saw that one of the pilots or two of the pilots were walking throughout the aisles, we shouldn't fear that there was any difficulty with the plane, because they had another pilot up front who was always on duty. I thought it was quite amusing that they took the trouble to, you know, assure us that we shouldn't freak out and think, oh, the plane's flying without any pilot. British Airways, they're probably the best in the world. One of the reasons is that they take the trouble to allay people's fears before they develop or before they get out of control. So, given that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly one thing we know, we are very small. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Tala Mala Bajubu Hari Pada Nitire. I'm just like a bead of water on the lotus flower. We are very fragile. It's amazing how fragile we are. And it appears, even though we are flying up into the stratosphere, we're talking about going to other planets, we're talking about cloning life and prolonging life, defeating old age. We're talking about so many things nowadays, and yet we can see that we're also fighting the tiniest of little germs. We have here hoof and mouth disease scare, and I would pray that all of you pray for our dear cows, that they don't get this disease. Now is the time before happens, not after the fact. In fact, it would be nice if we had the names of... How many of you know the names of all our cows? Anybody knows? Huh?
Knows most of them.
You know most of them? Who are they? They don't have to be in order. Who else? You gave me about eight or nine. It would be nice to have a little list of their names, because they are praja. They're living entities who are sharing this property with us, and they're very, very beautiful people. They're very, very beautiful souls. So, it might be nice, just like we know that Mother Kalampana has got some disease, so we're concerned about her, because basically a very wonderful person, and we should be concerned about her anyway. But in any event, but even more so the fact that she's a pure Vaishnavi, and she makes a great sandesh. But she's got a very nice heart. Many of these cows also are very sweet living beings. You can go out there. Well, you got to find the right ones, but you can embrace them, and they'll kiss you, and they'll moo, and they'll reciprocate. You'll feel these living beings are reciprocating. You can feel their love. So we should pray for them, because a little thing, a little germ that's going around, I wouldn't want to get caught underneath one of these cows. I don't know how heavy they are. What are they, about a ton each or something? Burfi's about a ton. Ever have a ton of burpee? but they're so big, but a little tiny infection you can't even see could knock her right down, knock him right down. And the same is with us. We're so fragile. We take everything for granted. But the fact is that we are anu, we are atomic, we're insignificant, our earth planet is insignificant, our universe is like a mustard seed in a huge 100-kilo bag of mustard seeds. That's a lot of mustard seeds. Any of the cooks can tell you, 100 kilos of mustard seeds. And we're just one little mustard seed, and that's our universe. And this is one small planet in the universe. We're in a small little suburb of London. Would you call Watford a suburb, or it's an outlying area? What would you call Watford? Huh? Okay, we're small. We're very small. And we're so proud. And Krishna is very great. Krishna is Vibhu. When we say Krishna, we mean Vishnu. Krishna's power, Krishna's intelligence, Krishna's opulence, inconceivable. Our Ananta has unlimited heads. Means he has a lot of big tongues. A lot of tongues. And even with one tongue, he can't enumerate or glorify the opulences of Lord Vishnu. To speak of with all his tongues, he's even one tongue is not getting anywhere, but with all his tongues, he's not getting anywhere. So, we are small, and yet we're proud, and yet we're arrogant. And we really need to think about this when we pray in the morning, Trinada Pisunichena. Try not to, I mean, after many years, two things are going to happen. You're going to get tired of the same old rituals, and you're going to float away. Or you're going to go deeper into the meaning of what you're doing. You're going to start thinking about what you're doing. You know, like we say, well, it doesn't matter if you understand the language of the mantra or not, if you just chant Hare Krishna, you'll be purified. Well, that's true. But maybe you ought to think a little bit, too, after, you know, 30 years or more of, you know, chanting some mantra that you don't know what. Maybe you ought to think, what does it mean? So maybe we ought to think what it means to be more humble than a blade of grass. And we need that type of humility when we approach the Supreme Lord, when we see the Supreme Lord. Of course, this is in many cultures. It's not just that we've adopted this from Indian tradition or Vedic tradition, but in many, many cultures, even our own Catholic tradition, the Pope, what does he do? He offers his obeisances to Mother Mary, or I don't know, he has a staff and he offers his full obeisances. There's an altar, I don't know who's on the altar. Anybody has any knowledge of Catholicism, Catholic ritual? No, lots of college. To the cross, okay, there you go. And so it's just Jesus on the cross, or I think Mary's there also, no? And even in the Africa, I was in Africa many years ago, and one devotee who he was the king of a village, and he took me. That was a wild story. He was a commissioner of police. His name was Arjuna, Commissioner of Police Marine Division. So he took me in his Mercedes. The police in Lagos, they did very well. He had a Mercedes. Anyway, he also had a big house. He had a double master's degree from the UK, and one in philosophy. But he took me to his village one day, to his land that was owned by his village that he wanted to see. And on the way going, we were pulled over by the police. They have many roadblocks because different reasons. A lot of cars are stolen, but also insurgency. Various things. People carry Sting missiles, you know, the usual. And so they pulled us over, and he was in civilian dress. And the policeman stuck his... to me it looked like a Sten gun, but the Bhagavad-gita. And stuck it in the window and said, show me your papers. And Arjuna looked in the glove box and said, I haven't got one. Now, he was the commissioner of police, and he could have easily revealed himself and, given some flack to the young officer, the young policeman. But he didn't. And then the policeman again shook his machine gun and said, I've got to see your papers. And so he said, you've got me, I don't have them with me. So then the guy went back to his friends, they all had machine guns. And then he came back to the car, he again stuck his machine gun in the window and said, if you don't show me your papers, I'll have to take you in. And Arjuna just said, I don't have them with me. So then the guy stepped back, and he looked in the other side, and there I was sitting in my dhoti, gourd-shaped head. I thought, oh no, here it comes. Then he turned to Arjuna and he said, oh, you're with Prabhupada's man, you can go. That was funny. Arjuna said, you saved me. But he took me to his village, and we got out of the car, and we went on to the land, and immediately about 7 or 8 people came, and they all offered full dandavat to Arjuna, not to me, because he was their king, and that was their culture, to offer immediately full respects. So, it's the very beginning of developing love of God, is to recognize Krishna's supreme position. It's awe and reverence, but unless one recognizes Krishna's supreme dominion, unless one recognizes Krishna's supreme position, we don't know where to repose our love. And therefore, we have to curb down false pride. Because really, we are nothing. And the ultimate controller of everything in our lives and in the lives of everyone is Krishna. He's known by various names. People call him Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah. I'm sure there are dozens of African names. Everybody recognizes that there is some supreme controlling being. It's not, you don't need a degree in rocket science to figure this out. It's common sense. Only an envious person will deny the existence of God. Only someone who is a competitor. And that also, we see that such persons, there have been many in the past, there are at present, and in the future there will be. But they all meet the same ignominious end. They all get old, they get diseased, and they die. There was one fellow in India, there is one avatar in India, got himself in trouble recently. But Prabhupada used to comment that If he is God, why is he so ugly? it's beyond comprehension how insignificant, ugly, decrepit, I don't want to use a lot of the adjectives that I could use to describe such person. How they can claim that not a blade of grass moves without their sanction. I think one of the best ones was that in India they called him Bal Yogeshwar, and in the West they called him Guru Maharaj Ji. Oh gosh, Krishna. And there's a whole thing. First of all, he was supposed to be God, and he claimed he was a young boy, but it was found out that he wasn't 15 or 16, he was actually about 35 or something, but he was just bluffing people. And then his mother, they got into a fight, he and his mother, so his mother kicked him off the God throne and put his brother in place. And it was so hilarious, but people actually believed it. And people would go and study meditation under him. He had a process of helping you to see the light. He'd stick his fingers in your eyes and push, and then you'd see stars. That was it. That was enlightenment or endarkment or something. You know, you really actually, if you've got a tendency towards humor anyway, the material world is really a funny, ludicrous place. And people are doing the most absurd things. Even, you know, even in their search for spiritual life, they... do things that are just not comprehensible. We're presenting very factual knowledge, which is accepted by teachers for thousands of years, and not ordinary people, Shrutidars, people with perfect brains, people with perfect integrity, people complete control of their senses, not only one Sampradaya, but four of them all with the same conclusion, and not only four Vaishnava Sampradayas, but even the Shankara Sampradaya, Shankaracharya also accepted Krishna. But people would rather invent or concoct their own little dream world than accept. And even Vyasadeva has taken so much trouble. All of our acharyas have taken so much trouble. Even up to the present time, Srila Prabhupada made so many allowances for our fallen condition to give us a process which was reasonable, which could effect some results. I mean, after all, you don't want to waste your life. Generally, what people do is they, you know, I think the other day I told a story of someone who considered himself to be a Buddhist. You know, they're in and out. When it suits them, they're a Buddhist. When it doesn't suit them, they're a hedonist. Or maybe all at the same time, they're a Buddhist hedonist. Or whatever it is, total concoction. So, taking this into account, that we're manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya, that we don't have intelligence, that we're troubled by bad karma, that we don't have the foggiest idea of where to go or what to do about our miserable condition, taking all this into account, our acharyas have made it so easy. And yet, still, people won't do it. One of Prabhupada's favorite jokes or cartoons, a number of times, I think there's a couple of different versions of it, but the essence of it, he knew a wife is telling her husband, chant, chant, chant. And husband is saying, can't, can't, can't. Well, in one sense, they can't, because their hearts are so cold, they're so proud, they're so inimical, even to the conception that there could be anyone supreme than me. Ishwaraham, aham, bogi, siddhaham. It may surprise you, again, you start, you're quoting these verses, you're hearing these. Now open your eyes and look around. You'll see that people literally do have this demoniac mentality. They think, I am the controller. I am perfect. This is a state of consciousness of many persons in today's, what makes up a materialistic society? Materialistic people. And what is the nature of their consciousness? What keeps them going in illusion? Why don't they just see, finally, why don't they get a book, or they get a poster, or they see a documentary on Krishna? Why don't they surrender? Because they have a very deeply ingrained disease. They're sick. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. So, look around, you'll see it's true. It'll be a revelation. The only remedial measure, the only way of counteracting this tendency is to just become humble before the Lord. And you have to be convinced of this. You have to see that Krishna is your ever well wisher, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. You have to see that everything that takes place in your life is a manifestation of Krishna's mercy, that if you offer Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, if you become an instrument, if you become submissive to Krishna, then he is going to direct you all the way back to Godhead. He will be your friend. He will be your master. He will be your father, your mother, your guru, your teacher. He will find a way from within the heart and from without. You won't be able to escape, but you simply have to prepare yourself. You have to take a step. You have to be convinced and satisfied that devotional life is a life of sanity. I remember 1969, going from North Beach, San Francisco, which is an area where there are many nightclubs and shows. We would be there collecting, passing out cards to the Sunday feast, incense, and collecting money. We had some magazines, I seem to recall. And then we had to get to Hare, which is on the other side of. So we would all jump in the van about 11:30, everybody, whipped everybody into, all right, everybody, get into the van, we're leaving. And we were all very tired because we'd been working most of the day anyway. And this was every day. And I remember our driver, Mukhanlal, the brother of Nada Narayan. So Mukhanlal, he was one of those people, he's famous in St. Louis. He got up in the morning to wake the deities, offered his obeisances. When the devotees came from Mangalarti, there was Mukhanlal snoring away. He didn't have trouble sleeping. But he was our driver. And sometimes he would drive, literally I could swear his eyes were closed, he was sleeping while he was driving. But I specifically remember one day, we were going the wrong way down a one-way street. And Mukhanlal woke up and he said, "I'm not going the wrong way, they are." But we had to go up onto the sidewalk to get around them. So we're not going the wrong way, they are. We're very serious. And you have to be very serious if you want to get free from the itching of sex desire. If you want to get free from the bondage, from the prison house of the material world, if you want to get out altogether, not just go from a grade C cell to a grade A cell, but you want to make a permanent solution to your problems, if you really want to know the answer, if you want the absolute truth, and I do think that all of you do want this, because the Hare Krishna movement is not really a place for people who aren't serious. There are too many austerities, and it's not the most wonderful letter that you write to your parents when you first become a devotee. "Mom, I became a priest, you know. I became a Hare Krishna." "What?" Get the deprogrammers quick. So if you want that, then you have to acknowledge, you have to believe that the path chalked out by our acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapantaha. This is good. This is everything. This is the most perfect strategy, method, process, lifestyle, worldview. The most perfect. There's nothing better. You can't find anything better. We challenge anyone. You find anything better. So because there is nothing better, then we have to commit, we have to give, we have to now become more humble than straw in the street. We have to bow down to Krishna with feeling. We have to look up after bowing down, and we have to see the deities, and we have to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, the only person who can save me, He's coming to me. He's here. You have to believe. You can't, it's not enough to just be on the ritualistic platform. And everything can become everything according to your mind. The deities can become stone, if that's what you want to see. So, the demigods understood this. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all superior in every way. Power of Lord Shiva, the energy of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is so humongous. His size is inconceivable. And he creates. He's on top of a lotus flower. That in itself is, you know, must be a pretty big lotus flower. Powerful to hold up Lord Brahma. And he creates everything with perfect intelligence. Lord Shiva, perfect ascetic. Nothing can distract him from his meditation. But that's the very point. Lord Krishna, he gets up in the morning and meditates on himself. Lord Shiva, this was Narad Muni's observation, that Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they're deep in concentration and meditation on someone else. So who is that someone else who's the origin? Narad Muni wanted to know that. Who is the ultimate supreme? Lord Shiva is called Bhagavan, and other deities are called Bhagavan, meaning great person. But Narad wanted to know who is the Karna Karanam, who is the cause of all causes. And it's so clear. It's Lord Vishnu. For us, it really doesn't matter a whole lot, because our only deity is Srila Prabhupada. At least my only deity is Srila Prabhupada. I don't know any of these other persons even a little bit. I think about them. I read the books. And for a few seconds, milliseconds, you know. I appreciate their inconceivable greatness, but the person that I can really appreciate is Srila Prabhupada. but at least for our own understanding, we do not... I was going to read you, and I didn't read you. I didn't bring it today. But too bad. Bhaktisiddhanta says that we don't want psychopaths. Everybody knows what a psychopath is. Now give us a definition of psychopath. Yeah? Huh? Phant. Huh? Psychopath. Sicko, I don't know, that's one sick way of saying it, but a psychopath is a person who is, well, I mean, the simple way is a very blind follower. We sometimes get labeled this in our blind following of some of our leaders. We really don't know much about the process of surrender, the goal of surrender, the advantage of surrender. But we just throw ourselves into the spirit of the whole thing without trying to understand what it is. That's called a psychopath. So Bhaktisiddhanta says, I forget his exact words. Do you remember mine? No. I mean, Gaurhari, do you remember? Anyway, I'll try and read it on Sunday. It's a list of about 25 statements by Bhaktisiddhanta. All really nice stuff, but one of them is, we're not asking for psychopaths. We want to understand what we're doing in every way. We want to be able to explain ourselves. Okay, I could say time to stop here, it's time to end class, but I'll say it's time for prasadam. I like that better. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam.